We're going to start in verse number 1. We are in our series called You Asked For It. And I've been soliciting questions since August, and I got a couple of really good ones getting kind of polished up and worked on right now, and they're going to be appropriate to this day and age. And if you have questions, send me an email. We can do You Asked For It in January. If you got questions, I'll find the Bible answer. I've heard people, I'd say, I got a question. They go, well, I've got an answer. Well, no, the Bible has an answer. So look at Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 1. I will read the odds and you will read the evens. Here we go. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Let us pray. God, we love you. You are the ultimate object of our faith and our love. And Father, we are enamored with the idea that you've loved us and you're worthy of our praise. And we have so much to be thankful for, God. And today, God, I'm thankful you're the God of the second chance. You're the God who doesn't throw away broken things. You're the God who loves us and separates our behavior from who we are. And your love never diminishes because of our behavior. Your love is ever true. And today, Father, if there's one in this room that does not know Christ as their Savior, may they trust him today as their Savior. And for us, your children, Father, teach us and grow us in Jesus' name. Amen. How many in here have had a makeover? Anybody got a makeover? Anybody? Nobody wants to admit to having a makeover. Okay, look at it this way. Who knows somebody who needs a makeover? If you think to yourself, I can't think of anybody, then it's probably you. How many have ever done that? You think to yourself, oh man, the 70s have called. They want their sweater back. You know what I mean? What? It's time to upgrade that style. It's up time to upgrade that, you know, the haircut and things of that nature. How many of you remember in the mall they had this photo studio called Glamour Shots? Huh? How many of you secretly got one hidden away on a shelf somewhere? That's right. That was so the girl at the office would see your husband had a really good-looking wife. That's what that was for. And I just wish I could look like that all the time. You know what I'm saying? But makeovers is when you take a step back and say to yourself, what needs to change? God is a makeover kind of God. He is a do-over kind of God. And we see this in verse number 4. He says, and the vessel we made was marred in his hand of the potter, so he made it again. God is in the makeover business. He loves you just the way he finds you. Bless your heart. It doesn't matter what your style is or your hair color or anything. It doesn't matter. But he loves you too much to leave you the way he found you. Amen. God is in the makeover business. He loves you. He has a plan in mind, a vision, as they say. When you meet people who do design work, like for clothing designers, they have a vision. They have a silhouette and an image in mind and what they're trying to produce. And God is no different. God is the ultimate artist. He has a vision in mind for you as an individual. You are the original. No one else has your DNA. No one else has your fingerprints. You are an original by the master. And he doesn't throw away broken things. I love that. We'll get into that in a minute. Today's question was, what is God doing and how does he do this stuff? How does he work in my life? And well, God is in the makeover business. And in our story today, this is an actual event where Jeremiah heard from God and he said, I want you to go down to the potter's house. How many of you ever seen somebody working clay on a wheel? You know what I'm talking about? We go to craft shows or we go to the fair and there's always artisans there and they're working with the clay on a wheel. And he goes down to the potter's house and it says he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred. Now, when you go to verse number 5, it says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as with this potter? And see, a lot of people will read this and go, yeah, God crushes me down. No, God remakes you. Did you not see that in verse number 4? We get so enamored by the struggles we're facing the disappointments we've experienced, the betrayal, the failures, that we forget that it says, and he made it again. We forget that. So we see we first, verse 4, we get into that first part. He was marred. Oh, yeah, yeah. God let this happen to me. And God just, God's bringing me down. No. God is reshaping and remaking into something glorious, something wonderful. Well, how does God do this? What is he doing in my life? How does it work? Well, God is using the picture of clay. The picture of clay. Now, I brought some here because I like pictures. I like object lessons. Do you guys like object lessons? This is clay. This stuff is, it's called modeling clay. And no, it's not something models put on, but it's definitely clay, all right? So when clay comes from the earth, it's made out of dirt. You know, it's made out of a specific kind of dirt. And you have to dig it out of the ground. And it has to be, you know, worked, because inside the clay will be impurities or like little bits of twigs and leaves. And so the potter, before he can get it to the wheel, he has to take it and he's got to work it in his hands. Or it talks about treading the clay. God talked about that. It's actually a picture of salvation, that he dug us out of the dirt. You know, it says in Psalm 40 that he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He uses that concept of digging up clay as a picture of our salvation. Man is made out of dirt. Did you know that? We're made out of dust. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, out of the dust of the ground. And he breathed life into the nostrils and he became a living soul. In Genesis 3, he said, listen, you're going to work the ground until you return to the ground, for out of it did you come. And so the potter will tread the clay with his feet, looking for sticks or stones or leaves or impurities. Because until he separates those things and has a good lump, it'll never last. It'll always crack. Yeah. How many of you got like a coffee cup at the house you've never dropped, but it's got a crack in it? You know what I'm talking about? I don't know about you, but we bake our dishes. We put them in the dishwasher and it's set to lava setting. Because when it comes out of there, it's hot. You open the lid and it's like whoosh, all this heat, and my glasses fog up and I'm like, well, I can't see nothing. But you grab a dish out of there, man, it'll burn you. It's hot. Well, we've got coffee cups that are cracked because inside there, underneath the glaze, is this. And where there were impurities in the process, it fractures. See, clay is unlovely. There ain't nothing pretty about this. And clay is unstable. And thus, it's unusable. God will sometimes use judgment on nations. He calls it treading the clay. He'll churn it because he's trying to get the impurities to come out so he can pick them out. Is God churning your life right now? I mean, things are going on. You don't know what's going on. It feels like you're on a roller coaster and your life's kind of out of control. And you think to yourself, what is the deal? What is God doing? Well, he's churning. He's churning. Remember the first day you brought home your first child from the hospital, and there was no nurse or doctor to call on? Do you feel a little out of control? Feel like what's going on? That's called adulting, right? And God will put us through things. He'll let things happen because the impurities will come out. So he'll use friction in your life to get impurities, or maybe there's a stone or a hard place in your heart from bitterness or betrayal, and God will churn, trying to get those things to break up or to be removed so that he can use you. Are there impurities in your life right now? Or maybe it isn't impurities. Maybe it's just something unnecessary. It's not necessarily sinful. It's just something unnecessary, but it's getting in the way of what God's trying to do. Maybe it's a priority out of whack. It's not a bad thing. It's just got the wrong priority level on it. And God is churning your life, going, hey, I want to use you. I have an image in mind. I have a design for you as an individual. Now, the other thing the our Father will do is not just friction. He'll use pressure. Look at Jeremiah chapter 18 here. It says in verse number 3 that he wrought a work on the wheels. That means he has an image in his mind. And for our Heavenly Father, that's Jesus. Because in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, the whole goal of the things we go through is so that we'll be molded and shaped into the image of Christ. Romans 8 and verse 29. But he will apply pressure to the clay to mold it. His hands have to touch it. And when he does that, that the clay is supposed to yield to the pressure of the potter's hand as he touches that clay and he spins it on the wheel. See, that's how it works for us. See, we're the clay, God is the potter, and the spinning wheel is time and circumstances. God is working you on the wheel of time and circumstance, and he's applying pressure in different parts of your life so that he can shape you. Have you ever watched those guys mold and shape a vase? They apply pressure. Sometimes opposite and equal, sometimes it varies. Are you submitting to the master's hands? Now, every one of us is in this situation right now, because you're either in the midst of being churned or about to be churned, or you just got through a churning session. How many of you just got through with a churning session from the Lord? Anybody? Yeah, we all go through it. Now, what's cool about this is, even though we may look different, God has all kinds of, God likes variety. God loves variety. So I mean, there's different sizes, there's different shapes, there's all kinds of different things God likes to do. He likes variety. Did you know that? And that's all of us may be a different size. Hey, round is a shape, okay? Right? We all different shaped, okay? We're all different, right? But then again, we're all made of this stuff on the inside. Whether it's a terracotta pot or it's a pretty one, you break it open, what you find in the middle is this. Now, like I said, God loves variety, and he will provide friction. And he will provide pressure. The Bible says in Isaiah 64:8, we are all the work of thy hand. Now, when a potter is spinning it on the wheel, he's got an idea in mind of what he wants it to look like. And since you and I have not gone to heaven, we don't know what the glorified Jesus Christ looks like. But God does. God the Father knows. He has an image in mind he is going to try to mold us and shape us into. Now here in verse 6, look what it says. It says, wait, I'm in the wrong page. Oh, that tasted nasty. Sorry. I know you got to watch. Sometimes you do things on heaven you don't think. Oh, house of Israel, can I not do this with you as the potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instance I shall speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom or a person to pluck up or to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. Then you go to verse 9, it says, in what instance I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. See, right now there are three people sitting in your seat right now. There's you that you are right now. There's also potentially the person you will become if you resist God and do your own thing. There's also a third person, and that's the person you will become if you yield to God's pressure. You yield to God's molding and shaping hands. The question is, who do you trust? Do you trust yourself more than God? Do you trust yourself? Do you trust society more than you trust God? The Bible says he's working on you. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work at you, the moment he saved your soul, he started working on you. And then it says, and he will perform it until the day of Christ. Until you meet Christ, he's going to keep working on you. That's why every life has value. So Philippians 2:13, for it is God that which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Now, as I said, the clay is supposed to yield to the potter's hand.
The clay is supposed to let the potter mold it and shape it. See, Romans 8:29 is the outcome, to shape you into the image of Jesus. But Romans 8:28 is the process, and you and I decide how that process goes. See, look at verse 4. It says, and the vessel which was clay was marred. As it spun, it got out of control in an area. And he had to bring it back down and start over. See, this is what happens, teenagers. Before, you know, when you're young and you're in the safety of the environment of your family, sometimes we'll get this crazy idea, we're going to do our own thing. And sometimes you kind of fall. Sometimes, you know, things get a little bent, a little messed up, but you're still within the safety of your parents' home, and God can still fix it. God can still reshape you. You haven't gone too far. You haven't done things that are going to change your future completely. You just kind of need a little tweak here and there. And my dad called that the belt. You know, that's a little tweak. The Board of Education applied to the seat of knowledge was a tweak. You know, and they were all the while trying to reshape me and to remold me. Sometimes there is pain in the process. Sometimes. Well, a lot of the time. There'll be hard spots. There'll be impurities. There'll be unnecessary things. In Isaiah 44:21, God says, O Jacob and Israel, thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant. God forms you for a specific purpose. It says in Isaiah 43:21, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. We have Hager pottery at the house that we like. And the designer, when you see it, you think to yourself, this is not Hager, this is garbage. But still, we have Hager pottery, and it shows forth the ingenuity and the creativity of the designer. And that's what God's going to do with us. As he molds and shapes us, we are projecting forth the creativity and the holiness and the glory that is God. Proverbs 16:4 says, the Lord hath made all things for himself. But you and I don't always like what we see in the mirror, do we? We don't always like the way God has shaped us and molded us. We look in the mirror and we start to question and say to ourselves, I think God got it wrong. I should be shorter. I should be taller. I should be this or that. There are some things in your life that you cannot change and you have to come to grips with. And the only way you can do that is by saying, I trust the Lord. It says in Isaiah 43, he says, bring forth the blind that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all nations be gathered and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us the former things? Are you really thinking that you're going to figure out God? Well, why did God make me this way? For his glory. Well, how's that supposed to happen? Well, if you'll submit to him and yield to him, he'll show you how you'll bring him glory. You will manifest the glory of the designer if you yield to the designer's hands. It says in Romans 9, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Do you believe that you're smarter than God? The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He had a plan involved. Now, he will correct us as we're spinning through time and circumstance. When things start to get out of hand, he will correct us. He will reach down and he will touch the clay and he'll do and apply the pressure and the friction he needs to so that we can be the grand and glorious thing he has planned for. That's what he says here in Romans, in Jeremiah 18, in verses 6, 7, 8, and 9, and 10. He said, I'm going to interject myself into your life. The question is, are you going to fight against God's purpose? Because really what you're saying is, I'm smarter than God. God didn't get it right. Now, lastly, God, because I said, clay is unlovely. There's nothing pretty about this. And it's unusable, right? It's unusable. To make it usable, for it to hold its form and do its function, he has to put it in the fire. It starts like this. It gets purified through churning and kneading.
But then it gets shaped through pressure, and then it's thrown in the fire, and it holds its form and is able to do its function. It says in 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." As I said, this isn't very pretty. And it's unusable. So God will bring you through a hard time to make you have form and function. But he's not done yet. He's not done yet, see. To get you to this, he has to put on the first coat. Where do I put this so it doesn't fall? He has to put on the first coat of glaze down here. And then it goes back in the fire again. Yeah. Then he has to put on this coat of glaze and put you back in the fire again. Then he's got to put this in here and then put you back in the fire. Now along the lines, you are going to be tempted to quit. See, when you're a teenager and you're still living under the protection and authority of your parents, you can say, "Well, I the public school says my parents are stupid, and I really know what I really need." You ever notice how the news media is never around to document the fallout? But who comes along and helps? Well, it's mom and dad in the church who come alongside and pick you back up and a little help here, but you haven't gone so far. But after you start to go through things and you fight with God, there'll come cracks. There'll be cracks. The older you get and the more decisions you make, you'll actually start losing pieces you cannot get back. But God has to put you in the fire to get you from here to here to here. And it's going to take repeated trials. The question is, are you going to embrace what God has allowed in your life? Because as you fight the master, the cracks appear. The pieces start to fall off. Now, you don't understand, preacher. You don't understand, You people just don't understand me. I'll do what I want. You people live by your life by the Bible. You're just crazy. That's crazy. You realize that was written thousands of years ago. But has humanity changed in thousands of years? No, we're just as sinful as we've ever been. We're just as willful and obstinate as we've ever been. Now you tell me. This garbage out there in society has never been as acceptable as it is now, but the suicide rate hasn't gone down. Now you tell me why. Why do they have closets down at the school where you can go down and change into the gender you feel you are and don't have to tell your parents? Why is it that all the countries that are more advanced than us in these areas have rolled back their laws saying, "This is dumb, we're not doing this with children anymore"? I'm not here to talk political, I'm talking about you. See, the potter is trying to mold you into a glorious image. This is how he works in your life. He touches your life. Well, I'm good. I've got my salvation. I'm going to heaven. Why can't he just let me drive? Because that's what happens. That's what happens. No. All right, now don't raise your hand, but you're allowed to say it out loud. Has life gone, for you folks that are above the age of 30, has life gone exactly the way you thought or wanted it to go? Have you ever said to yourself, "Man, I didn't see that coming"? You know who saw it coming? God saw it coming. That's who saw it coming. The question is, are we going to submit to the one who wants what's best for us, and by the way, knows what's best for us, or are we going to do it our way? Now, you're welcome to do it your way. God loves you. He loves you, and he will not force himself upon you. He will not force his will upon you. He will not make you conform to the image of Jesus Christ. But as you can, but be careful. Without the fire, you're unlovely and you're unusable and you're unstable. And the fire's going to come. Don't you trust him better? Because here's what happens. Long about the time you're 30, maybe 35, and kid number two comes along, and you figure, you know what? This is foolish. I don't know that I've been doing this right, and I don't have all the answers I thought I had, and preacher, I. You know, can I talk to you? Can I come by this week, preacher? Can I? You know, I've got these pieces, preacher. I've got these pieces, and I know they weren't supposed to be like this, but this is what I have. And of course, I'll say, sure, come on by. And with the love and grace of Jesus Christ, we will start to piece things back together. And you know, you may realize you've got the wrong piece. And you pick that up along the way. Maybe that was something your family did. And we'll start to piece this stuff back together and as best we can. There's going to be some stuff missing that you won't regain. Teenagers, a lot of the sin that these adults live with, they started in their teenage years. And you know what we all figured out? Society is wrong. But I still love you, and I'll still help you. And I will. And so will Jesus. He loves you. Jesus doesn't throw away broken things. Jesus puts them back together. He remakes it. He remolds it. It's a makeover day if you'll give yourself to Jesus. But you got to understand, every time we tell God no, we thwart the good he wanted to do. And every time we embrace something he does not want us to have because he knows it's bad for us, we're embracing the curse that he said would happen. And so you're the one who's got to decide. Here I am trying to put a bottom on a top. No wonder this isn't working. Right? Where's my tops? I mean, you know, we do this, right? I mean, we try to piece it together and we wonder, you know, where. And you find yourself 40 years old, 50 years old, wondering where your kids are and why you don't have a relationship with your grandkids. Nay, this generation's afraid of their grandchildren. But back when we were younger, we made decisions. And instead of inviting God to mold us and shape us, we let our whims and our appetites and our fancies, because that's what the world says was success. We buy things with money we don't have to impress people we don't even like, with stuff we don't need. We think to ourselves, this is what happiness is supposed to be in America. This is the American dream. No, God had a vision for you. He still has a vision for you. And even if you got some pieces, misses you can't regain, God will fill it with grace. He'll make you usable again. He'll make you usable. He'll take the pain of the cracks away, but he won't take the memories. Those you'll use for his glory as you shout how good God is to you. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. It starts at salvation. It starts by letting God dig you out of this miry clay. It starts by letting Jesus Christ take you in his hands and you trust him as your personal Lord and Savior. Our Heavenly Father, today, as you put us on the wheel of time and circumstance, shape us into the image of your Son. Shape us according to thy holy purpose. Father, we give ourselves to you afresh and anew. Forgive us for where we have told you no. Forgive us of our sin. And Father, right now, put your finger on the place in our heart that is hard
and unyielding. Whether it's somebody we need to forgive, even if it's ourselves, Father, please, that we may be moldable in your hands. And God, today, glorify yourself as only you can, in and through us, in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Meeks begins to play, the altar is open. There's no magic up here. But if you'll come and if you'll submit yourself to the Lord, to the Lord, if you'll come up here and yield to the Lord and say, Lord, it's me, God. All I got's pieces now. God, please put me together. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I love you. Won't you come? Moms and dads, grab your kids. Come up here and make a decision. We're going to live for the Lord. Come on up here, teenagers, and make a decision for the Lord. I want the glory that God is offering. I don't want the garbage the world is feeding me. Won't you come and let God mold you?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed.
God'll never work if you won't admit where you've made mistakes, if you won't own up to it. But if you will, He wipes us clean. He puts us back together. Won't you come?
Are praying. There's still time for you. Before it's too late, before you fracture, before God has to bring in the judgment, won't you please just trust Him? You don't have to go any farther. Just trust Him.
I come desperate
to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb, and I'm welcomed with open arms. Praise God, just as I am. Praise God,
just as I am.
Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that you're willing to make us over again. God, you remake us as you see fit. And Father, today, all of us need a fresh touch of your hand today. And Father, in our life, may others come to see your glory, not because of anything good that we've done, but because it's you working in and through us. And Father, in all this, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage